number one sports site in the world.
Live from the Quicken Loans studios of the Yahoo Sports Radio headquarters. Next time is the right time.
On the night time now.
It's Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D here on Yahoo Sports Radio. Thanks for joining us as we continue through the night tonight. Our telephone number, 800-777-2907. Also on Twitter, at Tony D Radio. So I spent tonight watching Villanova Xavier, and then I switched it over and watched South Carolina, my school, roll over Tennessee with rather ease. And I'm getting really excited for the SEC basketball tournament. Even though I'm not going to be watching high-quality basketball, mind you, I may actually see South Carolina win the SEC tournament. Now, my wife and her company, she is going to New Jersey for 3 months. And she's going to be working with this company out there. She's in medical billing, and she's basically redoing their entire billing office. She's stripping it down and building it back up again. So it's a lengthy project. It's part of her deal to go out there. She's going to be coming home on the weekends. So she's going to be flying in Thursday night and then leaving Sunday night to spend time with us. So then she goes right back to the extend a suite, whatever they put her up in New Jersey while she works there. So I went up, I said to her, I said, you know, I have credentials for the SEC tournament. And I said, I got them before you got this job, this situation. I feel really bad. I know every weekend that you're going to come home, you're going to want to do stuff. You haven't seen us in a week, et cetera, et cetera. I said, I can not go. And she's like, no. I will do stuff with the kids. I'll make it my weekend with the kids. And I just fainted. I was like, thank God. I really want to see South Carolina win this thing. Now, if South Carolina's eliminated on Thursday, then maybe I won't be running by. I had enough of a Big Blue Nation last year. That was enough. I have enough of Kentucky, enough with the Kentucky crowd for the rest of my life. Kentucky, I had never seen, I've covered many conference tournaments. I've been to Denver. I've been to Vegas. I've been to Nashville now. I've covered a number of even smaller college tournaments that I've been to over the years. I've never seen anything like Big Blue Nation. I've never seen anything like it. I walked in that first day. They were playing the first game on Friday. And I walked in and going underground from the media center to the court. I walked out. When I walked out, the entire arena, Bridgestone Arena in Nashville, the entire arena was covered in blue. You thought you were in Lexington. And I've been to enough of these to know that, you know, this school gets this section, this school gets this section, this school gets this. The fans kind of sit in different locations around the arena so that you can see some orange, some green, whatever the colors of the schools are that are in the conference tournament. No. Not when Kentucky plays. For some reason, they show up everywhere. And so I made a game of it. I said, the only one I want to see is Ashley Judd. And I sought out Ashley Judd. And I found her. I didn't go up to her and say anything, but I found her. But Big Blue Nation was something, I've never seen anything like it. Now, I'm hoping because South Carolina is having a good year that more of them will show up to the basketball tournament than they were last year. I'm hoping. Because this would be a great thing for me. Because my school is not a basketball school. When I went there, they weren't very good, and they weren't very good for years. In fact, the years that South Carolina was good, they were eliminated immediately in the NCAA tournament. They lost. They were a 2 seed 1 year. They lost to Richmond, who was a 15. They lost to Coppin State. Oh, maybe that was it. Maybe that was the 2-15 bracket. I think there were 3 when they lost to Richmond. Either way, they lost to Richmond and Coppin State when they were high seeds immediately. So they haven't had a lot of success in the NCAA tournament. And I don't think they're going to have a lot of success in this NCAA tournament, but I think they can win the SEC. So I'm looking forward to it. So I was very, very thankful my wife didn't go, oh, are you going to, am I one of my only weekends to come back and see you? You're going to be watching college basketball? You're a terrible person and an awful husband. No, I didn't get that. Thank God. She knows me good and well. Plus, she knows that when the Gators won those 2 national titles, that she gets to hang that over me forever. So, because South Carolina is never going to win a national title in my lifetime. 800-777-2907. And, you know, I always ask this question. If you could go to any conference tournament, where would you go? Luckily for me, the SEC tournament happens to be in my backyard. So I get to see the likes of Mississippi State and Bruce Pearl at Auburn and Rick Barnes and his lousy Tennessee squad and Kevin Stalling and his underperforming Vanderbilt squad. But if you could go to any one of them, where would you go? Because, you know, the ACC has got a lot of teams. Big 12 is very competitive. I think the Pac-12 tournament is in L.A., so location matters. You know, I love the Big 12. I mean, I think the Big 12 would be fun, but if I could go to any one of them, I would probably go to the ACC. I think it's more diverse. It's got a lot of traditional basketball. I think the Big 12 is the best conference. And I think the Big 12 is going to have a very, very exciting tournament. I like West Virginia. I like the, we just talked about Texas in the last segment, how they can get through, if they can be hot or cold. You love Buddy Hield. He's going to be player of the year, I think. So I love the Big 12. But I think traditionally, I like the ACC, and I like some of the traditional ACC powers that have been blended together with some of these other schools. Look, if Louisville was there, it would make it a lot. It would be a slam dunk. But because Louisville's there, it's just slightly my choice. But whenever you have an opportunity to see a North Carolina, Duke, you know, and whatnot, I think you take. Plus, even Syracuse, when they're even if they're not playing as good as Syracuse teams have. I like that atmosphere. I had said for years and years, my favorite conference tournament of all time was the Big East in Madison Square Garden. I don't like it as much. I think Villanova Xavier was as good of a basketball game as I've ever seen, but I wouldn't want to spend my whole 4 or 5 days watching it. But back when it was Georgetown, Syracuse, St. John's, Villanova, UConn, all those teams, Providence, when it was those teams, man, nothing was better than Madison Square Garden, especially in the 80s. Madison Square Garden and the Big East. It was rough. St. John's was with Chris Mullin and Patrick Ewing, Pearl Washington and Syracuse. I mean, those were some good basketball. That was some legendary basketball back in the day. And again, you put it in New York with Madison Square Garden, it owned the city. It owned the city. And, you know, obviously with teams moving on and football kind of permeating the Big East and forcing some of the schools out into bigger and greener pastures in other areas, it's lost a lot of its luster. But still, I mean, anytime Villanova and Xavier plays, I don't care where it is, I hope they play again in their conference tournament. 800-777-2907, 800-777-2907. So, you know what? I'll go as a reporter. I'll be a silent fan with South Carolina. Just like I said, we're not usually that good at basketball. But the SEC overall is not very good. It's just not very good. The thing about the SEC, though, and what could make it a fun conference tournament, is that there is some parity. And again, my line is parity doesn't equal excellence, but at least it could be entertaining. It may not be the best basketball you're watching, but it ain't going to be blowouts either. You might get some really good games. You might get some really good fights. You might see a scrappy team trying to win this whole thing to get that automatic bid. That's one of the only storylines that I'm coming up with in the SEC tournament is LSU. LSU without Keith Hornsby, are they capable of making a run in the SEC tournament to get into the NCAA tournament by winning it all? Does Ben Simmons just pour on everything he possibly has to get LSU into March Madness? And I think it's imperative for the SEC to have a strong representative in the NCAA tournament. One of the dark horse teams that we didn't really talk about, and I wouldn't really call them a dark horse, but what about Texas A&M? What about Kentucky? Now, Kentucky is really not a dark horse. I mean, these teams are ranked and ranked pretty good, and Kentucky is a team that has gotten all the attention that you want. They're not under the radar at all. But Kentucky's a team, if they put some stuff together, can make one of those runs like they did a couple of years ago when nobody really thought anything about them. They ended up being an 8 seed that made it all the way to the title game. And remember the kid that had the tattoo that year that said national 2015 national champs, 2014 national champs? And everyone laughed at him. And he came one game shy of watching that tattoo become one of the best future bets of all time. All right, coming up next, the British are coming, and they've got something to say about one particular NFL team. That next, Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, Tony D here on Yahoo Sports Radio. All right, coming up, the British have something to say about the NFL now that they're like partners and everything. But let's go to Jim in Southern Indiana. It was up next on Yahoo Sports Radio. What's on your mind, my man?
Hey, I heard your segment about it's puzzling to you why Kentucky's these arenas are all covered in blue at these basketball tournaments. And I know for a fact I have several Kentucky friends. I'm not a Kentucky fan, but anyway, they contact every school in the SEC when they can't get a ticket. They contact these schools and purchase their tickets.
So, not to interrupt you, but just let me set this up real quick. At conference tournaments, you usually, there's sections. So if you have 8 teams in the tournament or 10 teams in the tournament, there are sections of the arena that where your fans can buy those particular seats. So a lot of times when you go in, because you don't buy tickets for individual games, you buy lots for the day. You buy all the games. So like, let's say Kentucky's playing Florida, there might be a sliver of red of Mississippi State fans who are just like, yeah, I'll watch this game, I'll hang out there. But with Kentucky, you're saying they buy those tickets and just eat up those seats.
They eat them up. They'll go down. They know, well, these other schools, Mississippi State and Auburn and 10 out of the 12 or 14 teams know they have no chance to win the SEC.
Right.
And they don't care. It's a football conference. It's a football school. And Kentucky fans,
and why waste the money?
They don't. And the other 10,000 Kentucky fans who don't get in will sit outside arenas as soon as those teams lose. Who have tickets, they purchase their tickets. So they either get them from the athletic department themselves. My buddy of mine, he donates $5,000 every year to Kentucky's athletic school program.
And very
they
nice.
They get choice seats. Him and his wife are diehard fans, and they get choice seats every once in a while. But when they get tickets to the SEC tournament, they contact Auburn and Mississippi State and Mississippi. They have no chance to win the conference tournament, and yet they get 300 tickets to sell.
Yeah,
their fans aren't going to buy the tickets.
Yeah, and you know what? And that goes to a larger conversation about athletic programs. Look, when your fan base wants it more or appreciates it more or goes, you have a tendency to be better just based on the fact that they are so into what you're doing. I mean, Kentucky has no choice but to continue to try to be good at basketball. There is just way too much support in the state, and they're doing it with their dollars every time Kentucky goes on the road anywhere. It's like Alabama in football. Alabama cannot help but be good at football if the people in that state are that willing to dump a lot of their income into that program. Then you've got to respond by getting the best recruits, the best coaching, the best and all that other stuff to compete in the world. Kentucky, you're right. Kentucky does that better than anybody in the SEC. And yeah, I mean, look, I went to South Carolina. We're not a basketball school by any means. We're good this year, but for many years we were terrible. Why would somebody pay $1,000 for hotels, tickets, food, travel to watch them lose in the first round?
100%. 100% correct. And here's another avenue, and I'm glad I'm talking to you all with Yahoo Sports. I've tried to contact ESPN, and I don't know, this is probably going across many airways, about all these schools getting in trouble with the NCAA tournament. And I believe that there is a slight, now you might laugh at me a little bit, a slight conspiracy. ESPN, who has $1 billion invested in the SEC, ESPN SEC channel for football, showing all the SEC games. Well, they will lose $1 billion worth of interest if Kentucky's put on probation. Do you think they're going to investigate Kentucky with these star athletes, recruits coming in there left and right, and you know half of them don't even go to class? They're never going to investigate them because there's so much money invested with Kentucky basketball. I mean, we're talking about Kentucky, Duke, and Kansas are, will not be touched majorly, even though there's questionable stuff going on. I've written ESPN many times, and they say, well, we'll look into it. And
you got an actual response from them that said they would look into that?
Yes, they said we'll look into it, and they never will. Hey, listen, here's another one. Pat 40 works for Yahoo Sports, correct?
Yeah.
Pat 40, I wrote him one time. He went to Memphis, did an article on Calipari on Saturday. Memphis, they were like 35-1. He drove down on a Saturday, and I wrote him to print this article. He gets there gets the pyramid on a Saturday morning, and there was like 14 Escalades and expeditions sitting out front of the pyramid. The only people in there are the basketball players, and when they left, the car's gone. It happens in Kentucky.
I will say this. I'm never one to jump into conspiracy theory immediately, but here's the thing. The formula of what you just stated is there for that. I don't want to say you're on to a conspiracy, but what I'm saying is the ingredients are there for a legitimate one. I don't know if I buy it, but at the same time, you're right. Whenever you throw money and that much money into the equation, I think people should always be skeptical. I mean, you hear this phrase all the time, follow the money, follow the money, follow the money. You want to know why certain things happen and don't happen in politics? Follow the money. You want to know why certain things happen in the business world? Follow the money. You want to know why this drug or this thing doesn't get approved? Follow the money. I mean, it is used for every single thing that whenever we find something that is just off, whenever we find something that doesn't seem right, the answer is always to follow the money. And in sports, it's no different in sports. So while I can't say that I know definitively that there would be one, that the television partner would be in cahoots with the NCAA to make sure that a high-level program is kept playing so that the money that was made, you know, keeps flowing. I don't know. USC is a pretty big program and was a really big program back in the day. And they got hit pretty hard. Alabama has gotten hit, you know, before Nick Saban arrived, pretty good. There have been a number of schools. Kentucky got hit, but you're talking about a different era. Cause I know that back then there wasn't a $1 billion deal. But the ingredients are there. I'm saying the ingredients are absolutely there. And I can totally see people making that connection. And I think that would be a legit connection. I mean, I wouldn't dismiss it as lunacy if somebody said, I believe that these television partners do go in and say, hey, wait a minute, what are you doing? I paid you a lot of money for television rights, and we're making a lot of money off this particular team and their particular pursuit. And if you take that away, look, I've said this many times, but I preface this with being an SEC guy. SEC basketball is terrible. Right? Eventually, it could be good. There's a lot of good young talent that could develop into something, but they're never going to be the Big 12 right now. They're never going to be the ACC right now. I mean, there's just it's not very good. There's just not very many good teams. And if you have Kentucky, and Kentucky's playing really well, and they're ranked, and that's one of the calling cards of the conference, and you've got this SEC network, and they're airing games all the time, and you're trying to look for exposure, and you're trying to look for more eyeballs, and all of a sudden, Kentucky is getting slapped around with this or that, it's not difficult to make the connection. I don't go there because I don't go down conspiracy roads, but if you are more of a conspiracy guy that tends to believe follow the money and everything, then you should always follow the money, and in this case, do that. All right, coming up next, the British Parliament has something to say about the NFL. Next, Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, Tony D here on Yahoo Sports Radio. Again, thanks for joining us. All right, so I read this story today, and at first I went, how dare they? And then I read it again, and I realized, oh, no, they may have a point. Oh, no. The British Parliament has weighed in on the Washington Redskins name. The British Parliament has written a letter to Roger Goodell asking the league to change the name of the Redskins or, quote, at a minimum, send a different team to our country to represent the sport, one that does not promote a racial slur. Okay, so on the one hand, I'm like, oh, well, how dare they tell us what to do with our NFL teams? And then on the other hand, I realize, oh, no, 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 this is the bed the NFL made. Right? Going to London, going to giving them one game a year, then two games a year, then three games of the year, and then toying with the idea of actually having a franchise over there. And what a great idea this is going to be. Let's put a team in London. Well, if you're going to put a team in London and you're going to get Wembley Stadium to host these games, yeah, you know what? They do have a little bit of a voice. They almost feel like they're partners now. See, this is what happens, man. Next thing you know they're going to want to get involved in everything. That Patriots, that's a little offensive to us. We don't like to be reminded that you overthrew our government 250 years ago. Would you mind changing that name? We don't quite dig that. And the Steelers, we've been buying your steel for years and years and years. You don't need to rub it in our face. Vikings? Why, my God, that's Norwegian for crying out loud. Would you mind changing that? I don't know. To something a little bit more British? Or how about the Dolphins? We don't have any Dolphins here. Why don't you change that name?
The Bears. We're scared of Bears.
We're scared of them. So, basically, Parliament is saying this. Now you get to the kind of the serious part of it. Wembley Stadium actually has a like kind of a charter, like a rule that states you can't promote anything offensive within Wembley Stadium. So if they determine that the word Redskin is an offensive term, which, by the way, the logo infringement trademark policy of the government has already said it was. If that's the case, and the British Parliament have done that, they could actually tell the NFL, no, they can't play here. Now they say at the least it would affect television broadcasting and merchandising. So the Redskins may be able to play there, but their gear would not be sold, or the broadcasting could be problematic. I if I'm the NFL, this is an issue I don't want to dive into right now. This is an issue that's way more complex than just forcing the Redskins to change their name because London said so. If this is really going to be a problem for the British government and Wembley Stadium, then I'd pull the Redskins out of London. I tell Dan Snyder, I got to mix up something. I don't know how you change. You know, the schedule's not officially out yet. Just change the game. I don't know if you need way advance notice for that or not. I mean, teams usually know way in advance when they're going to London. And so you're going to have to do the whole refund thing to the people who have bought packages to go see the Redskins play in London. Look, listen, if I had the funds, I would make a trip to London tomorrow to see the Steelers. I would love it. To go overseas to see the Steelers in that kind of stadium. I don't agree with the franchise there, but I certainly as heck would love to see Wembley Stadium filled with the terrible towel. I think that would be great. So if this is a big deal, again, this game will be against Cincinnati. So if it is a big deal, they would just have to figure out both the Redskins and the Cincinnati schedule to keep them, either keep Cincinnati in London and have them play another opponent, or send the Redskins off somewhere else. Send them both off somewhere else. I don't know. At first I thought, yeah, the British don't really have a right to say anything. And then I went, wait a minute. Yeah, they kind of do. But if you're the NFL, this is too big of an issue for them to kind of deal with right now. As I said earlier, I know they want to deal with this. But there's a time and a place, and they've done their little bits, and it kind of went away, and Dan Snyder's winning the fight. And I just don't think you force this on again because people in Great Britain are like, well, we don't want the team here. Well, we'll give you another team. But right now, let us, with our own pace and time, figure out what we're going to do with the Redskins. I've been saying this for a long time. People, this is not easy. This is not easy. The owner of this team, the owner of the Washington Redskins, is hell-bent on keeping it that way. And the league doesn't want to set a precedent like this. And it's just tricky. And I know some of you out there who are really on the side of the NFL forcing them to change, I understand. But at the same time, there's a lot of legality to this. You really need to make sure you're not setting the league up for powers that the other owners are going to resent. Daniel Snyder owns the team. And as much as I find him laughable, he has withstood this fight. Now, he's a bad owner on a lot of levels, but he has withstood the onslaught of the people coming. Said this earlier. When the trademark decided that it was offensive and then opened the floodgates to people putting counterfeit merchandise or unauthorized NFL merchandise bearing the Washington Redskins logo and name, basically opening up the market because the Redskins couldn't really own that name and own that logo. So now you can have Redskins jerseys that were made by some guy in his garage and selling them in the parking lot, and there was nothing the NFL could do about it. But I said, this is not going to impact the Redskins like people think. Because it's almost a socialism way the NFL does its revenue sharing. If you buy a Aaron Rodgers jersey, the Redskins get a piece of that jersey. If you buy a Todd Gurley jersey, the Redskins get a piece of that jersey. Likewise, any Redskin merchandise that is sold, everybody else in the NFL, except one team, gets a cut of that. The only exception is the Dallas Cowboys. They have their own merchandising. So they have their own agreement. They don't revenue share with anybody on that. So the Redskins aren't getting all of the revenue from everything they sell with the Redskins logo on it anyway. And when last week or earlier this week when we talked about jerseys as collectibles, one of the points that I've been making is I don't think the league has to worry about that. I don't think the league has to worry about these cheaply made unauthorized jerseys flooding parking lots and people going, I'll buy that. I'll buy that for $30 rather than pay $120 or whatever it is in the store. I don't think that there's going to be enough business because people who buy jerseys want it authentic. They want it with the shield on it. They want the highest quality and they want to make sure that this is the real deal, not something that's going to break apart after the first washing or something that's going to start unthreading after the fifth wear. So anybody who buys a $30 jersey and is hell-bent on buying a $30 jersey probably wasn't going to buy a $120 jersey anyway. So think about it from the Redskins stand. Ooh, ouch, you really hit us hard there, trademark department. So basically anything that is sold in the parking lots of our stadiums that doesn't come to us, we're not going to get the 131st piece of merchandise on that, revenue on that. And, oh, by the way, we don't really expect to get hit that hard anyway. Look, I wouldn't buy somebody's cheap T-shirt in a parking lot just to save a few bucks. I know some people who will, but if I want a T-shirt of my team, I'm buying a really good one. If I want a blanket or if I want a hat, I'm buying a really good one. Even if I pay a little more for it. I'm not going to buy a Antonio Brown jersey with the numbers peeling off of it. So it's a delicate issue. And I understand the people in Britain want to say, hey, look, we've got something in place at Wembley Stadium, so don't bring that Redskins stuff here because we ain't supporting that. The NFL should respond by saying, yeah, we need to examine that because we don't want to be embarrassed when we get over there. You're our long-term partner. We want to see a team there. We don't want to get off on the wrong foot. We'll change the team.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, thanks for joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio, 800-777-2907. And a reminder, hey, listen, check us out on Facebook, Tony D Radio Show, and on Twitter, @TonyDRadio. Also, Adam, you want to give out your Twitter? Go ahead. People should follow you, too.
At Adam G. Sager.
At Adam G. Sager. Well done. On a serious note, this Aaron Andrews trial in Nashville is getting emotional.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
Some crazy
father
stuff.
Said, the father, her father said she's a shell of herself. Because now, if you remember, this was a while ago, wasn't it? Wasn't it like 5 or 6 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, somebody, it was definitely years.
Years ago, somebody kind of rigged a camera to look into a peephole and was able to catch her naked. And then they put it on the internet, and ESPN, did a, to their credit, did a great job of getting that off as quickly as it could. I mean, it used legal action left and right to shut that thing down. If she's really broken, I give her more credit. I'm not an Aaron Andrews fan, but I'm not one that piles on. She gets easily attacked. I'm just not a fan of her work. But I have to respect her. If she's really a shell of herself, she's not showing it on TV at all. She's on Dancing with the Stars. I mean, she's doing all sorts of other things. So if she's really broken up over this over the last couple of years and has been seeking counseling and all that, then my prayers go out to her, because I can't imagine. It's kind of tough. I didn't know that was going on in Nashville, but that's apparently where it happened. So it's kind of right up the road from where I live.
Do you see she's suing the hotel for $75 million?
Wow.
Can you imagine if she wins that?
$75 million. Wait a minute. What did the hotel do?
They made it easy for the guy to basically get the camera in where he got it to take the picture.
Was it because I don't know as much of the story as I probably should, but did they help the guy find her room? I mean, because a lot of these celebrities go under pseudo names, you know. So
right, yeah.
You know, I like to go in with my name, because it's, you know, when I travel, it's like, who would say they were Tony D that wasn't Tony D, you know? But Aaron Andrews probably went under a pseudo name, right? She can go in under Aaron Andrews. So how do you find? Did the hotel sort of go, yeah, Aaron Andrews, 314?
Then I don't know exactly what she's claiming.
By the way, and this is the one thing that always troubled me about this story. So she's in the room getting dressed. She's naked. A guy is on the outside of the door, kind of jerry-rigging a camera so he can film her through a peephole, and nobody saw this? I mean, does it take 5 seconds to get this done? Like, is it like James Bond, where he just sticks a piece of plastic on the peephole and it does all the dirty work for him? I'm thinking that there's a guy probably fixing a camera, putting an attachment on a door, doing all this stuff. Somebody had to have walked by and went, what the hell are you doing? Nobody from the hotel thought anything of it? That's what I want to know. But
she claims that they told her, or told him, her room number. Oh, allowing him to book the room next door.
Yeah, then there. Oh, okay. Okay. So this wasn't him on the outside. He had the room.
He had the room next door.
Oh, okay. So he had plenty of. Right. See, this is why I have you on the show, man, because you straighten this stuff out for me. Well, I go on a rant of without any information whatsoever. You keep me in line.
And
so thank
happened,
you.
This happened in 2008. So
yeah,
we're seven
long time,
almost 8 years now.
I wouldn't say her career has been dramatically affected by it, would you?
No.
Listen, if you're a judge and you're deciding punitive damages here, okay? I'm not a lawyer, but I got to think there's got to be serious, outside of emotional, you would be, $75 million would incur like career, loss of income, and she never suffered any of that. If anything, she became more of a celebrity than she was. Aaron Andrews has been famous for over 10 years. Where has my life gone?
She's worth, well, according to this, over $3 million.
A year?
No, just like total, like her net worth and everything.
Oh, her net worth?
Yeah.
Okay. $75 million from the... She ain't getting anywhere near that. I can't imagine the judge giving her that much money.
I mean, damn, even if she got 10.
Yeah, if she... Oh, no, definitely give her something.
I mean...
If they help that guy, if they can prove that hotel helped that guy get the room next to her, she's got them. She can squeeze that for as much money as she can. They'll settle this for $20 million. She's going to make some money. But I don't know. A judge would have to say, listen, show me your career damage. Show me where this has damaged your career. Because you've gotten more work in the last 7 years. I mean, she's everywhere. I mean, you know how big Dancing in the Stars is? That's a gigantic show. And she's on that, as well as the sports. I mean, she's world famous. So, I don't know. Poor Erin Andrews. I didn't know she's been that famous for that long?
2004 is when she started with ESPN.
Wow!
Covering Major League Baseball and
good
NCAA.
God, really?
Yep.
She's been in the public light for 12 years?
Yeah.
My God, really? I am blown away by that. I'm not kidding. I must not have a good concept of time. Because if you had said to me, when did Erin Andrews become famous? I would have said, I don't know, 2009. I had no idea it was 5 years earlier. Where have I been? Slap me around. Next thing you know, I'll be like, hey, man, the Anaheim Angels won the World Series. That was pretty awesome, wasn't it? That was in 2002. Really? I thought that was yesterday. I'm all confused. Well, good luck, Erin Andrews. $75 million. That's a good chunk of change. All right, 800-777-2907. Coming up next, we'll talk about Butch Jones and what he said about a player being a traitor and why we should be paying attention to those Xavier Musketeers. All next, Yahoo Sports Radio.